is in this place. Amen, church? Amen. Great job, choir. Thank you, Melody and choir. And all of you, thank you for that good singing. That was great. We praise the Lord for that. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. Let me speak to the contemporary service. I noticed in the bulletin that the contemporary praise band has a great lineup of music this morning, and I'm sure they had a great time of worship over there as well. But it's good to see all of you this morning. Thank you for being here. As Warren said, on a cold winter morning, but I'm filling in for Dr. May today. He is sick, and so I'm honored to stand before you and be filling in for him today. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 33. Acts chapter 4. Of course, we know the book of Acts is the story, if you will, of the early church. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. This passage, I love this story. This passage is just packed full of good Bible truth and very applicable to today. And so we're going to break this down a little bit this morning and see what God has in store for us. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. We now thank you for your word. God, just give us insight into your word, Lord. As I stand here this morning, Lord, just give me the words to say, Lord. Forgive me my sins and speak through me. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Robert Cowley is an American history expert, and he has written several books about American history, ranging from the Civil War all the way through World War II. One of Cowley's books was called What If? That was the title, What If? And the subtitle says this: the world's foremost military historians imagine what might have been. On the back cover of this book, it says this: historians and philosophers have pondered the crucial turning points of history and events that forever altered the course of civilization and set the stage for the world in which we live. Cowley and other historians looked at specific events in history and asked the question, what if? In other words, if those events had been different or had been altered, some examples of the events that they examine and ask the question, what if, is these. What if George Washington had never escaped from the British Army on August 29, 1776? What if General Robert E. Lee's military aide had not lost General Lee's military plans? What if, when Alexander the Great was wounded in battle, he had not been rescued by his own personal bodyguard? And what if the Allied invasion on D-Day had failed? Today, as we are here at the beginning of a brand new year, I want us this morning to ask the question, what if? Not looking back at 2023 and asking what if, because 2023 is gone. It's over. We are now 3 weeks into 2024. But the blessings and the burdens, the pleasures and the pains, the highs and the lows, whatever 2023 was for you, it's over and gone. So let's not look back and imagine what might have been, but let's look ahead and consider what could be. Let's take our own what if this morning. Let's take our own what if and ask the question with a new perspective and with a new purpose. Let's look forward and think about what God can do in us in 2024. Let's look forward and think about what God can do for us in 2024. Let's look forward and consider what God can do through us in 2024. Now let's pause for a moment and set the scene here as to what's taking place here now in chapter 4 of Acts. As I said a moment ago, of course, we know that the book of Acts is the story of the early church. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and the third day he was raised from the dead. And then we see in Acts chapter 1, we see where Jesus ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit came down and indwelt those disciples that were there together. And the early church, or the New Testament church, began. And then after that event, the Apostle Peter preached the first sermon, and it says that 3,000 people were saved. Now we fast forward to chapter 4. We see here at the beginning of chapter 4, we see that Peter and John are preaching and teaching to the people. And it says in the following verses that 5,000 men were saved. And it also goes on to say that the Jewish leaders were upset about this, and they arrested Peter and John. They took them into custody, held them overnight, and the next day they brought Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. Now the Sanhedrin was the highest Jewish council, the highest Jewish court, you might say, of that time. It is similar to our U.S. Supreme Court. So Peter and John are brought in the middle of this group of Jewish leaders. It says here in Scripture that the elders, the rulers, the scribes, the high priest, they were all there, and they told Peter and John they didn't like what they were doing. They didn't like the fact that Peter and John were preaching Jesus and spreading the gospel and people were being saved, and they told them, you better not do that again. I want us to look at what happens. Look at verse 17 and 18. Look back there, it says, so that Peter and John, they've taken them out from the council, and this is what they say, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And they called them back in and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Friends, this was the first event of persecution to the church. They were told, do not preach the name of Jesus anymore. And then in verse 23, it says they released Peter and John. They gave them, they let them make bond. They were released from custody. And it says that they went back to their church folks, went back to their companions, their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they shared with them what happened. They told them about they had spread the gospel and people were saved, and the Jewish leaders took them into custody and just reported this event and how they had been told to stop doing that. But now I want us to notice, here we go, notice their response now in verse 24. Notice the response of the church. Verse 24 says they prayed. They prayed. Notice they didn't protest. They prayed. They didn't call a business meeting. They bowed their heads in prayer. Nobody in that group of believers said, one call, that's all. Let's get an attorney and call Ken Nugent. They called on the Lord God of the universe. They took their petition to God. I want us to part right here now for a moment and look at two things. Notice two things about their prayer. Two things we see here in this powerful prayer. First of all, notice their perspective. Notice their perspective and look at how they started their prayer. Look at verse 24. Let's look at it now. So when they had heard that, they heard this report of persecution. It says they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Listen, they knew they had a problem, but they didn't focus on the problem. They turned their attention and focus on the problem solver. Notice that first word in their prayer. One single short title or name. Lord. They began their prayer with Lord, and that is not just coincidence. That is significant. The word Lord or the title Lord means master, ruler, owner. Listen, the people of God there, they understood their relationship with God. God, we have been persecuted. We have got this problem we're facing. They have instructed us and commanded us to not preach the name of Jesus, to not share the gospel. And so we call on you, Lord. You are our master. You are ruler over everything. You are the creator and owner of all things. You see, the Bible teaches that as believers, we are God's servants. It actually uses the word slave. We are slaves to God, and these early believers understood that. They understood that relationship with God. God, they understood the problem, but they turned their attention to the Lord God of the universe and called on Him as Lord. We see how they acknowledge God as the creator of all things. God, you spoke the word and created the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets. God, you simply spoke the word and created heaven and earth. They called on the power and the authority of God intentionally because of their problem that they were facing. You see, listen, let's be reminded. Let's make sure we, in the new year, we get the right perspective. We all go through problems. We all go through difficult times. You may be here today and facing some type of difficulty. Maybe it's been brought forward. Maybe it started in 2023 and been brought forward to 2024. But I want us for just a moment right now, if you're here today, if you got a problem you're dealing with in your life, do this. I want you to double it. Make it in your mind, make it twice as bad as it really is. Okay, you got that? Now, I want you to triple that. Triple that. Take that problem, double it. Once you've done that, triple that. Okay, you got that? Now quadruple that. Make it four times as bad as it was. Listen, it doesn't matter how severe your problem. God is bigger than your problem. God has power and authority over whatever problem you're facing in life. Let's be reminded that He is the Lord God of the universe. He is our master, our ruler, our owner. God sees you right where you are. God knows every detail in your life, including the details of the problems that you face. He has power and authority over those problems in life. So we see here, first of all, in their prayer, we see their perspective. And now, number two, notice their position. Notice their position. In verse 24, it says they raised their voice to God. Notice this, with one accord. Now, the term one accord is used 12 times in the New Testament. 11 of those times it's used to describe the early church. And the term one accord means unity. It means they were together. They were united. They were like-minded as believers. And when we see in Scripture this characteristic of the early church, we see where God would honor that unity. In an example is in chapter 2. It says those disciples were together in one accord in one place. And at that moment, it says that the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and indwelt those disciples. When a church becomes united, come on, amen. When a church becomes together in one mind, in one accord, God will honor that. God will bless that. God will do amazing things in that church as He did in the early church. But notice here, they didn't pray for the problem to be taken away. It's a very powerful and important point here. They didn't pray for the problem to be taken away. They prayed for boldness. So what is boldness? Now that's a term that we all probably would have a different opinion or different thoughts about what they're praying for or what that means. Boldness doesn't mean righteous anger. They're not asking God to give them the boldness to go and argue with the Jewish leaders or to go fight the Jewish leaders. Boldness doesn't mean arrogance. Oh, we're better than they are anyway. God's going to favor us, not them. Boldness simply means courage. Courage. These believers are not praying and asking God for that problem to be taken away. They're praying for the courage to stand up to that problem. Oh, listen, do we need some boldness in our churches of America today? Amen? Boldness, it means the courage to stand up in the midst of a battle. It means to not be afraid and cower down when you're going through difficult times. Let that be our prayer. God, give us boldness and courage. But I like the next part even better. Notice their other request. Not only did they pray for boldness and courage in the midst of this problem, but notice something else. We see here it says that they prayed for signs and wonders to be done. Prayed for signs and wonders to be done. The early church, these believers, were being told by the highest Jewish court in the land, basically trying to shut them down. Do not do that anymore. But they prayed for boldness, yes, and for signs and wonders. You see, what they were asking for, they were asking God to make himself known. They had a desire for the supernatural power of God to be revealed in this situation. They're looking for God to do something amazing in this situation. They're saying, God, you have all authority and power in heaven and earth. God, you rule and reign from the throne room of heaven, they said. God, you spoke the word and created all things. Now, God, you do what only you can do. You see, that in essence is a characteristics, or that is part of being kingdom-minded. They didn't focus on themselves. Oh, poor, pitiful me. Oh, poor, pitiful early New Testament church. They focused on God. They're asking God to make yourself known. God, this is not us. This is not about us, God. We're wanting, in the midst of this problem, we want you to be glorified. Show up and show out, God, in this situation. Praying for signs and wonders. Praying that God would do what only he can do. So, what if? What if this is the year that you and I commit to prayer in a new way? What if we determine in our hearts to pray like the early church? Let's commit to pray for boldness. Let's commit to pray for the courage to stand up for Jesus and tell others about him and do whatever it is God would have us to do in our church and in the community. And let's also pray, I like this part, let's pray for God to do some signs and wonders. Amen, church? Come on. Let's ask God to do what only he can do. We've got to get ourselves out of the way so God can do amazing things among his people. Do what only you can do, God. Make yourself known. God, reveal your supernatural power in our lives, in the life of this church. And what if in 2024, God answers your prayers and responds to your prayers in amazing, powerful ways? What if this year we see God do amazing things and make himself known through signs and wonders? I read an article about a long-distance runner named Karen Phelps. In this article, she said this. This is her quote. She said, this is a professional runner. She said, on this particular day, I didn't feel like running at all, but I made myself, because running is a sport you have to practice every day. I wanted to win races, so I had a plan set for training. She had five things she listed there that was her training plan. Number one, she said this, run daily, even if you don't feel like it. Number two, run daily, even if you sometimes have to skip fun and pleasure. Number three, run daily, even in bad weather, even if people think you're weird. Run daily, even when it gives you aches and pains and you feel like quitting. Run daily, even if you don't feel it's doing you any good. Then she went on to say this, sometimes you may not feel like practicing, or you may feel like doing something else that needs your attention. But if you're in training, you'll do it. My friends, listen, what a plan for prayer. Huh? What a plan for prayer. Listen, what if we follow her training schedule in our prayer life? What if, church, we pray daily even if we don't feel like it? What if we pray daily even if you sometimes have to skip fun and pleasure? What if we pray daily even in bad weather and people think you're weird? What if we pray daily even if it gives you aches and pains and you feel like quitting? What if you and I as believers pray daily even if you don't feel like it's doing you any good? Listen, Jeremiah 33:3, God spoke through his prophet Jeremiah. He said, call unto me. The Lord God of the universe in scripture tells us to call on him, to come to him in prayer. He says, call unto me and I will hear you and I will answer you and I'll show you great mighty things. This could be the year. What if this is the year that we pray according to this praying plan here? And God will honor that, and God will bless that, and God will do amazing things in your life. God will do amazing things in this church. And that will bring about a renewed sense of joy and rejoicing. Okay, we got to move on. We see here, number one, first of all, what if? We're looking at the early church, and what if this is the year of rejoicing? And number two, what if this is the year of revival? What if this is the year of revival? Look at the second part of verse 31. Look at it with me. Verse 31. Lead into it with the first part that we looked at. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And then it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So the people prayed. God responded. God moved. And God blessed his people with his presence. And it says here, it tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We see in Scripture several times that phrase, and we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That basically means to allow yourself to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It means to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that when a person accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, takes up residence inside of you, and we are to allow the Holy Spirit to control every ounce of our being. Remember, the Christian life is not about self. The Bible says to deny self, and then we are to live under the control of the Holy Spirit. But we see here the elements of revival. This is revival taking place among God's people here. This is a movement of God. This is a fresh touch, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Revival, another one of those words that we all seem to have different definitions for, different thoughts about what revival actually is. We oftentimes think that revival is a series of special services or meetings. Or we oftentimes think that revival is something that happens outside the church. It's something that goes on out there with somebody else. We often talk about needing revival, and we sometimes associate that as being something that happens with lost people. But true revival takes place in the church. True revival happens in the church. And true revival begins in the heart of God's people. I want us to notice something here. We're looking at the early church. We're talking about a movement of God among the early church here in chapter 4. Just remember that the church was founded 2 chapters ago. These are new believers in essence. But yet we see God show up, do a mighty work, give them a fresh touch. We see a new movement of God among a new church. In 1859, a revival broke out in Scotland that led to a greater movement, a greater, bigger revival called the Third Great Awakening. There were several new hymns that came out of that revival, and one of those hymns, Revive Us Again. We all know and love that song. It's been around for a long time, of course. And I can remember that song from my childhood. But the last verse of the hymn, Revive Us Again, says this. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Listen, revival. A movement of God, a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, when we see the Holy Spirit descend from heaven and dwell those disciples, it described it as fire and a mighty rushing wind. That is what we need today, is the fire of God to come afresh and anew in our churches. But let me ask you this question. Are you ready for revival in your own heart? Are you ready for revival in your own heart? Are you ready? Does your heart long for and desire a fresh touch, a new movement of God in your life? I know I do. I know in my own heart, my own personal life, my heart longs for a new movement of God, something fresh. A fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. I need that in my own life, and I long for that in our churches today. What if this is the year of revival? What if 2024 is the year we see a new movement from God? What if 2024 is the year that we have this fresh touch of the Holy Spirit? So we see here, number one, we see what if 2024 is the year of rejoicing? Number two, what if this year is the year of revival? And number three, lastly, what if 2024 is the year of reaching out? The year of reaching out. Look at verse 33. Look at it with me, verse 33. And so now we see, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. In spite of the threats from the Jewish leader, the Sanhedrin, the people continued preaching Jesus. They continued to witness. They continued to share the gospel, and the church continued to grow and flourish. As I said, I love this story. Great passage, full of good stuff here, but I want you to notice the flow of what's happening here. We see the first persecution of the church, trying to shut them down. And then we read this story. It starts with this persecution, and it ends with the church growing with boldness and courage. It's a powerful story. And what if you and I began to have the boldness of the early church? What if you and I begin to have the courage to reach out and invite people to our church? Listen, come on, church. Listen, what if 2024 is the year when this worship center is full of people. Wouldn't you want to see that? What if this is the year that we grow, the worship center is full of people, and we have to put out extra chairs? What if over in the contemporary service, what if this is the year that we run out of chairs over there in the Family Life Center? What if this is the year? What if this is the year that God moves in your life? What if this is the year you see a breakthrough in your personal life and God gives you the boldness and the courage to invite people to church and reach people for the Lord? And we see our own church in 2024 flourish and grow. Listen, so I know some people that says, that's just history. That's thousands of years ago. God's not going to do that today. That's so deep from the pit of hell, it smells like smoke. Huh? God is the same today as he was then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, he can do that in our midst, in our church today. Yes, he can do that in your personal life in 2024. Listen, we have got some great special events coming up in our church. The Sportsman's Banquet is coming up in a few weeks. We have a great speaker that our men's ministry leaders have invited. Great, well-known speaker that's coming. Help me, listen. What if that Sportsman's Banquet, this room is overflowing. There's people out in the lobby, and we see untold number of men and people get saved. We have an event, Jerry Vines, a well-known pastor, had a great ministry throughout the years. He's coming in February. What if we see untold people saved in that service? When Coach Rick comes March 3rd, what if you and I reach out and we invite and the place is full, overflowing, and we see untold number of people get saved as a result? I heard a pastor telling a story on the radio, Christian radio station I was listening to last week. I thought share this with you. Very impactful story. The pastor on the radio was talking about this meeting of pastors that took place. Not sure the entire details, but he was saying this is well-known, prominent pastors. It was a small gathering, maybe a room full of pastors that were meeting together. And they had a guest pastor there with them, a pastor from Africa. Just happened to be there as a guest, one of the pastors that brought him, I think. And so they were just sitting around talking, informal meeting, discussing things, you know. And the American pastors were talking about the status of the Church of America, talking about our society and the way things are, how difficult things has become, you know, for churches, and how spiritually bankrupt we are as a society and a nation. This kind of basically a negative attitude about the status of Christianity in America today. You know, expressing concerns that you and I would express and agree with. But they were just talking and expressed all these thoughts and opinions and everything, and the room got silent, and the pastor from Africa said this. He said, you know, I've heard everything you've said, and it seems to me that you guys have forgotten one thing. And they looked puzzled and kind of taken back, and they said, oh yeah, what's that? You've forgotten that Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen? Am I right? Isn't that good? Oh, we get all down and out and all poor mouth and negative and we worry and we become discouraged. But let's remember, Jesus was raised from the dead. He is alive today. We have victory in Jesus if we'll just claim it. Let's not doubt what God can do. Do we see doubt here among the early church? They're calling on God to do amazing things. Show us some signs and wonders. Let's not doubt what God can do in our own life, in the life of the church. This could be the year for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're going through, God can overcome it. God can set you free. And let me just say, if you're here today in either service, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, Jesus is alive. He did die on that cross for your sins. He was buried. He did was raised from the grave, and he lives today. And all you have to do is just pray a simple prayer and ask him into your heart, and he'll save you. But if you are saved, listen, God wants to do a mighty work in your life. We have talked about 2024 and asked the question, what if? What if? But I want you now, before we close, I want you to consider another question. We've talked about what if. Now I want you to consider this. Why not? Why not? Do you really believe by faith? We need a healthy fear of God, and we need the faith that this could be the year of breakthrough in your life. Why not? Remember, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Let's not gather back here next January, 2025, look back on 2024 and say, what if? Let's consider 2024. What if this is the year? Let's pray together. God, we bow before your throne. We're so thankful for this time together, God, and thank you for the example of the early church. God, help us to, as individual believers and as a church as a whole, God, help us to be a church that recognizes our relationship with you, that you're the creator of heaven and earth, that you're in control of all things, and we don't have to worry or fear, but just trust you and call on you, Lord. I pray that we'll begin afresh and anew to pray for boldness and courage. God, we need a fresh touch. I desire and ask you for a fresh touch. We want to see a mighty movement of the Lord God of the universe in our lives and in our church and in our nation. God, let 2024 be the year. God, we ask for signs and wonders to be done. We pray for these events coming up, God. Do what only you can do, God. It's not about us. It's all about you. And we thank you in advance, God, for the victory that you're going to give your people in 2024. God, I pray that during this time of invitation, here in this service and over in the contemporary service, I pray that people will respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit and come and pray about their own life, pray for boldness and courage and call on you, God. And I pray that we'll pray for a fresh touch from you, a movement of God, a revival among our churches and in our lives, Lord. I pray that we'll come forward and pray about these events coming up. God, help us to not take for granted these events. And I pray that our church will begin to invite people. We'll see our Sunday school classes full and overflowing and our worship service full and overflowing. Make yourself known, God. You be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever's on your heart this morning, if God has spoken to you, you desire to come, pray about your own life, pray for the church, whatever your need today, the altar is open. As Mark leads us in this invitation hymn, you come. Let's stand together. Will you come, pray for our church, pray for our country, pray for your own life, your family.